Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking on a really deeply ingrained habit in the business world.
A habit that almost feels like a rule.
Exactly. It's this idea that creativity is secondary. You know, things like sketching out a new strategy or spending real time on a complex story for a presentation.
Right. It's the stuff that gets mentally filed under nice to have, or we'll get to it when things slow down.
Which, as we all know, is code for never.
It never slows down.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
We're so meticulous about optimizing every process, tightening every system, demanding a measurable output from every single hour. And yet, our source material for this deep dive, and this is drawn from a CEO World magazine article on the book Your Brain on Art. Well, it just flips that whole idea on its head.
Okay.
Let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Our mission today is to show you that creativity isn't some passive luxury. It's an active cognitive asset. It's absolutely essential for leadership.
And this isn't, you know, just a philosophical argument. That's what's so compelling here.
Right.
The sources are pulling from deep research in neuroscience, anthropology, clinical medicine. And the conclusion is, well, it's pretty singular. Humans are wired for art.
Wired for it.
It's a biological imperative. The need to create, or even just to experience art and beauty, it's baked right into our DNA.
So if it's a biological imperative, it has to be a business imperative too. That's the logical leap.
Precisely. And to really get it, we have to look at this field called neuroaesthetics.
Neuroaesthetics.
It's the science that lives at the intersection of creativity, our senses, and our biology. And it's the lens that proves creation literally strengthens the brain, kind of like how weight training strengthens muscle.
I love that parallel.
Yeah.
Because it forces us to look at our calendars differently, right? We all accept we have to make time for the gym to stay physically fit for the, you know, the marathon of business.
Of course.
But we dismiss the time spent, say, designing a really clear infographic as time away from the real work.
It's the mental equivalent of skipping leg day. You might feel fine in the short term, but when the pressure is really on, when you need that stability and flexibility, the weakness shows.
So the research actually shows what's happening. When a leader sits down to do something creative, let's say writing a complex article, what is going on in their brain?
It's a cascade of high-performance chemicals. The second you get into that state of flow, whether you're composing music or just sketching out a system on a whiteboard, the brain's reward system just lights up.
Okay, so we're talking dopamine, serotonin, those kinds of things.
Exactly. Dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin.
Most of us know those as the feel-good chemicals, but how do they translate into, you know, actual leadership skills?
Well, there's so much more than just feel-good. They're performance regulators. Dopamine, for example, drives motivation. It's what makes you want to solve a hard problem.
Okay, so more drive.
Right. And serotonin stabilizes your mood, which means you're less reactive, more rational under pressure. And oxytocin, that's the big one for teams. It's the chemical of trust and social bonding.
So creativity isn't just a nice break. It's chemically reinforcing the stability and drive you need to lead.
Absolutely. But the really exciting part, the bit that takes this from just wellness into real innovation, is what happens with something called the default mode network, the DMN.
DMN. That's the part of the brain that gets a bad rap, right? It's the idle mode, what's active when we're just daydreaming.
That's how it used to be described, yes. And that description made people dismiss it. But what neuroaesthetics is showing us is that when you're in active, focused creation, the DMN is highly engaged. It's not idle at all. It's synthesizing.
Okay, hold on, because this is a critical point for anyone listening.
Yeah.
How is active creation like writing different from just, you know, passively scrolling on my phone or staring out the window?
Yeah.
Isn't the DMN active then too?
That is the key question. Passive wandering lets the DMN make connections, but without any direction. When you are actively creating, you are steering that incredibly powerful engine. You're forcing it to work on a problem. Its job is meaning making. It connects stray bits of information. Active creation makes it connect the emotional centers and memory centers to the parts responsible for long-term strategic thinking.
So the creative process is like a workout for your brain's C-suite. You're training it to find a path from A to Z when the data only gives you A and B.
You're putting it perfectly. And the result is measurable. Increased neural connectivity. You are literally building stronger pathways for innovation and pattern recognition. It's how you build intuition.
So if the benefits for an individual are so clear, better decisions, more resilience, why do entire organizations get it so wrong? Why is collective creativity so hard?
It's a huge paradox, isn't it? Every company says it wants innovation. They hold brainstorming sessions, they buy sticky notes, they put up whiteboards.
All the props are there.
All the props. Mm-hmm. What's fascinating here is the source's observation that without the right culture, these sessions devolve into what the article calls mild precipitation.
Mild precipitation. I love that. It's so vivid. Just a little sprinkle of safe, predictable ideas.
Instead of a thunderstorm, yeah. Everyone's suggesting we just, you know, move the chairs around on the Titanic.
So the problem isn't the brainstorming method itself. It's the culture.
It's the environment. We've just established that the brain is literally built for this stuff, but in a rigid culture that only rewards efficiency and hitting metrics, people, they get protective.
Protective of what?
Of their standing, of their career. If your entire performance is judged on hitting predictable KPIs, then offering a wild, risky, ambiguous idea is a career hazard. So you offer the acceptable answer. You color inside the lines.
Because coloring outside them might get you labeled as not serious or, even worse, as someone who wastes time.
And you create this massive cognitive disconnect. Leaders say disrupt, but their systems punish the very behavior that leads to disruption. And in a world where, as the sources say, the ground shifts weekly, mild precipitation is an existential threat.
So the job of a leader isn't just to ask for ideas. It's to build a culture where creativity is a discipline, not just a party.
Exactly. It has to be embedded. It has to be protected from the very metrics that would otherwise kill it.
What's the payoff for a company that actually gets this right? What's the real advantage?
The advantage is speed and flexibility. A company that practices creativity as a discipline can pivot with confidence. They can face uncertainty with curiosity instead of fear.
Because their people are already comfortable in that ambiguous space.
They're mentally flexible. They won't freeze when the market changes because they've been training for it all along.
Let's prove this out with some of the high-stakes examples from the sources. The results from medicine are just. They're stunning.
They really are. The sources show that creative activities can actually lower cortisol levels in an emergency room, the most stressful environment imaginable.
Wow.
It's been shown to reduce the perception of pain in soldiers recovering from trauma. And maybe the most amazing one, it helps stroke patients regain language.
That stroke example is so powerful. If engaging with art can help the brain literally forge new pathways for language when the old ones are broken.
Then just imagine the impact on a team facing a complex business problem.
Right.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you see the potential. The medical results prove the brain's ability to rewire and self-regulate through art. So transfer that to an organization.
What does that look like?
It looks like leaders navigating complexity with more nuance and less reactivity. It looks like teams collaborating more generously, more trustfully. It looks like an organization that innovates freely because it has trained its collective brain to handle ambiguity.
Which brings us to what you've called the CEO mandate, this idea of rethinking productive time.
Yes. Leaders have to stop seeing creative exploration as the reward you get after the real work is done. It is the real work. It's what makes all the other work better.
And that means more than just saying it's important. It means changing the calendar.
It demands action. You have to allocate time and energy to exploration with the same rigor you apply to your financial audits.
So you're saying block out time for creative thinking, just like you block out time for your budget reviews.
Absolutely. The irony is staggering, isn't it? We would never skip a quarterly planning session, but we treat the maintenance of our own cognitive operating system, the thing that generates all the ideas in the first place, as totally optional.
And that brings us to that final analogy from the source material, which I think is so powerful. The most important technology we will ever manage is the human brain.
Mm.
And we should think of art, of creativity, as its operating system.
That's the idea that should stick with you. Creativity is the update. It's the maintenance. It's the infrastructure that makes sure the hardware runs at its best. The future is all about emotional intelligence, adaptability, and imagination.
And this becomes even more urgent when you factor in AI.
Mm.
Artificial intelligence is going to handle execution and efficiency at a scale we can't even comprehend yet.
It will run the processes. It will find the efficiencies. The one thing it cannot replicate, the one truly sustainable competitive edge, is the human ability to see what isn't there, to imagine a new possibility.
That is pure imagination. And it is fueled by exactly the kind of neurological training we're talking about.
Which is why a book like Your Brain on Art might just be one of the most important leadership books of the decade. It's a wake-up call.
It really is.
So here's the challenge for you to take away from all this. The mandate is to carve out time to write, to design, to paint, to create. And don't do it because it's just enjoyable. Do it because, based on everything we've unpacked, it is genuinely necessary for success.
You're not goofing off.
You're not goofing off. You are running critical system diagnostics. It's time to update your operating system.